You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. To you. Mike McNamara for a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. On your home for it, the most favored All Marine All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah. So what is up on a Friday? Bunch of news to get to, some of it not good. But yesterday did not have a chance to get to much because we listened to General Dunford and then had a great conversation with Jeff Kenney during the Lynch Kenney event, in which Lynch was absent. Yeah, Lynch is getting interviewed by somebody. Like, hello, dude. You kidding me? Yeah, you know what we is. So greetings on a Friday. Yeah, if you didn't, check that out. Put that on your list of things to do today. Also, listen to the chairman. You know, you get more out of listening to him for, I don't know how long all the cuts were together, but if you string them all together, probably 35 minutes, something like that, maybe. You get more out of that than like a whole lot of other stuff. And so, yeah, you know, again, he gave the most complete response that I've seen to events relative to Iran, said they had spotted. And again, how do they spot it, right? We have satellites and reconnaissance aircraft and whatnot, watching ports and things like that. All of a sudden we see trucks, we see missiles, we see stuff being offloaded. Right, we confirm it, we track the shit, you know, it's not hard, especially when you're focused on somebody like that. So he said that they received the intelligence, they contacted the Iranians, and said, you probably don't want to do that. And then, over the weekend, that's when he made the decision that the Lincoln would be hastened to in the direction it was already headed, and so the Lincoln kicked it into gear, and so you heard him talk about that. But the big thing he said that made headlines around the world was a continued American presence in Afghanistan for years to come. Now I don't know why, and it was interesting, kind of link his comments to H.R. McMaster's comments about this whole idea that America's war weary. And so General Dunford kind of laid out, look, you know, when I was the commanding general there, we had over 100,000 American service members there. We have a small fraction, maybe 10% of that there now. And so we're doing this on the cheap, and what we're doing here has a direct impact on protecting our country. We are fighting a denial mission. Again, there's three people, well, there's more groups, but there's essentially two groups. The Taliban, which is focused on taking over the country of Afghanistan, and then the other large segment of groups that would fall in a different category would be the Al-Qaeda's, the ISILs, right, who are there with a different agenda than the Taliban is, right? Those groups have an international agenda, a training agenda, expanding the caliphate, and all the rest of that. Okay, so we have an interest in making sure that that fight doesn't go on, as well as supporting the government of Afghanistan. So General Dunford had been laying that out for months, but for whatever reason, it seemed like news yesterday. And then H.R. McMaster's point is, look, these are important issues, and the narrative being sold by the media that the United States is war weary, yeah, this has gone on for a long time. Okay, but you have to finish these things well, or you will continue to do them. And the United States is horrible at doing it. And so H.R. McMaster in the news for the first time in quite a long time, I might say, and pushing back on, I think that chiefly sold by the media that spins events a certain way. Good Friday morning to you. Sad news to report, a vehicle rollover at Camp Pendleton yesterday, and the owning unit, the First Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion, I was a member of back in 1985, I think. 84 and 85. 85 mostly. And I was a platoon commander in that battalion. And after I was at Charlie 15, I went over there trying to, back in the day when you came in as a reserve officer, right? So that means you didn't go to ROTC and you didn't go to the Naval Academy. So you got a reserve commission. You went through a thing that we called augmentation. And everybody at that time that was augmented into the regular Marine Corps was sent to a different MOS. Yeah, logisticians, administrative officers, supply officers, which is what ultimately happened to me, and then ultimately I was saved from that. Not that that's like, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do, but it certainly wasn't what I wanted to do. But a lot of guys that I knew that I came into Marine Corps, got different MOSs if they wanted to stay in the Marine Corps. So, I thought it was a good idea when after we deployed with 1st Battalion, 5th Marines, and I came home, I was looking for some type of advantage. The light armored vehicle was new to the Marine Corps. The 1st Light Armored Vehicle Battalion was just standing up, and they were rounding out their staff of officers, and they were next door to us at Camp Margarita. Yep. And so we were in a Quonset hut, I think, our company, one of the Quonset huts, for those of you that are familiar with Margarita, where the old gym was. It used to be a dining facility before that, before they built a new dining facility. Anyway, so I walked in and said, I heard you're looking for an infantry officer, you know, might I audition for the spot? And the executive officer, a major by the name of Ken Falasco, looked at me and said, who are you? He like gave me the rough treatment. And then he introduced me to the battalion commander, who was getting ready to go PT, and said, hey, could you come back at whatever, 1300? And when I came back, he sat down and spent 2 hours with me, right? I'd never spent 2 hours with a lieutenant colonel in my life. I'm a first lieutenant. And he gives me the vision of what the light armor vehicle is going to be in the Marine Corps for 2 hours. I went back to my company office, and my lieutenant buddies are like, where were you? We thought you were just going over to LAV Battalion for a while, because that's what it was known as, LAV Battalion. I said, I was. I've been with the battalion commander for 2 hours. And they were like, bullshit. I said, I swear to God. Marty Steele, and he would go on to become a lieutenant general in the Marine Corps. I think the first tank officer ever to rise to that rank. He is running. He was roommates, I want to say, with Ray Smith at the basic school. Good friends with Tony Zinni. These guys, they run in packs, right? So when I was presenting post-traumatic winning last week in Quantico to the commander's course, his son comes up to me. He comes walking up. He's got a smile on his face. I look at the name tape, and I went, oh, my God. His name's David Steele. And David, I first met him probably when he was 12 years old. But he's a Cobra pilot. He was in Afghanistan in 2010-11 when I was there. And I don't know if I saw his name on something or if he saw my name on something, but we exchanged emails. Never saw each other there. But, yeah, I got a chance to see him. But anyway, I went over and as a lieutenant, and I really enjoyed it because you have more freedom. The battle space is bigger as a vehicle commander, right? And you support more things and your training wheel is wider, right? And you're off on your own more, which I enjoyed. So when I went back as a company commander, I wanted to go back to that community, cause I enjoyed it. And so, and that's how I met General Neller. He was a battalion commander out at 29 Palms. I'll talk generally about rollovers because there's no other than one Marine killed and six Marines injured in the incident that happened at Camp Pendleton. There are no other details released about it. But here's the problem with the vehicle. If you look at a picture of the LAV-25, and I'll put one up with this. With this podcast, it's not top heavy, but when you're driving around Camp Pendleton, it is hilly, all right? Depending on the amount of moisture in the ground, sometimes the ground gets unstable. So if you're driving on a road and, you know, it doesn't take much, in terms of ground giving way, right? And it just depends what's below the ground, right? So if the shoulder of the road gives way and what's beyond that shoulder slopes down at a fairly substantial rate, then you're gonna, there's a chance. I've been in vehicles that slid down the thing sideways and stayed upright. But it's a really scary experience, right? All of a sudden, you know, you're kind of sliding. The vehicle's upright. And then, obviously, when it either hits something or the slide gets steeper, the vehicle rolls. Now, when it rolls, you know, you're trained to drop into the vehicle. That's what your training is. But you fight the instincts. You fight your instincts, and your instinct is to jump. The problem is, you know, if you can imagine the vehicle rolling as they do, you're gonna wind up jumping in the direction the vehicle's rolling in. So the vehicle, if you're going straight, right, let's just say the vehicle rolls to your left, right? So that's which way, you know, it happens so fast to get out of your hatch, right? And then to jump against, right, the roll, you'd have to be pretty experienced and it had to be rolling pretty slow for you to do that. And what tends to happen is, somebody's caught half in, half out of a vehicle. Somebody jumps in the direction the vehicle rolls, and the vehicle rolls on them. And everybody who drops down into the vehicle tends to be safe. So thoughts and prayers go out to the family. Certainly thoughts and prayers with the Marines that are involved in it, and their mates at First Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion, Camp Pendleton. But that's how, it's kind of the mechanics behind how that happens. And again, you know, it's not your instinct to drop into the vehicle when it happens. It's something that you have to train to. But, you know, I don't know that there's any simulator that trains in vehicle rollovers. I don't think there is. And so it's just something you train to on the ramp. And you don't even probably do it that much. You review it, you review it, you review it. It's not like the Hilo Dunker, right? There is no vehicle rollover, training that I know of. If there is, somebody can correct me. But anyway, that in the news today. The other story, three other stories, that I want to talk about as we get going here. One is John Bolton. While I share many of his views in terms of looking at the world with realistic lenses, one of John Bolton's flaws will be his endorsement of his selling of the war in Iraq. And so when John Bolton is now involved in this whole Iranian thing, and he is as the National Security Advisor to the President, he bears scrutiny. He bears scrutiny. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the Coast Guard seized a Chinese, and Grant Newsham said to watch for this. Until we begin to seize vessels that we know have North Korean vessels that have gone to sea empty, have rendezvoused with another ship, transferred coal, oil, or whatever commodity at sea, and then are heading back to a North Korean port, until we seize those vessels, we're not really serious. So there's a little bit of message sending done to the North Koreans here. So I want to talk about that. And then the whole Chinese trade deal thing. It is not something the nation can back away from, no matter what happens. Now, the economy is doing all right, doing pretty good, actually. So we'll talk about that. But good Friday morning to you. The chef will join us here in about 42 minutes. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem, as she does on Friday. Good morning. Dedicated to my old battalion, the First Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion. Hang in there, Marines.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Winning is a good thing. Our culture is very sensitive to it. Right? It prizes it on one hand and keeps you from doing it on the other. You have to do it a certain way. Yep. That's the way we do it. All right. Currently, partly cloudy in 74 in Quantico. In Camp Lejeune, it is partly cloudy and 79 degrees. 29 Palms, clouds and 60. Pendleton, clouds and 61. Okinawa reports cloudy late in the day and 73 degrees. Al Anbar in Iraq reports partly cloudy and 81. The whole world is cloudy. Oh, Afghanistan's not. There you have it. in the Helmand Province. It is 88 degrees under clear skies early in the evening, which means it got warm today, sports fans. At the home of All Marine Radio, cloudy and 61 degrees. I don't know what happened to the weather here, but yeah, there's rain in the forecast. Like, what a joke. It's May, for God's sakes. May 10th. And there's rain in the forecast? Are you kidding me? Anywho, looking for a high of 69 degrees today with clouds. Clouds and 71 tomorrow. And then on Sunday, clouds and a high of 70. Sunshine and a high of 70. So that'll be different to see the sun. Haven't seen it in a couple days. All right, we'll take a break. We come back. We'll check news headlines here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. The chef coming up here. And don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Oh, let me just say one thing. Before I go too far. I recorded the interview with General Van Riper yesterday. And let me just tell you, it's an awesome interview. And I say that with all the humility that I can muster. And it's not because of me. I mean, I'm really fortunate in this job to be able to sit down and talk to these guys and girls, whoever it is. It is, it's a great interview. So for those of you who haven't heard, so much interest generated on a variety of different levels by General Furness's discipline thing with the 2nd Division. And so All Marine Radio is going to do a series entitled On Discipline, and you're going to hear from General Van Riper. Now, that'll air on Monday, and then following him, and in no specific order, they're just busy guys, so whenever they can fit it in, General Mattis will come on and talk. You're going to hear from Lieutenant General Buck Bedard, Lieutenant General Dennis Helick, who had an instrumental role in my life. And actually, none of this would be happening if it were not for General Helick. He and Neller. I applied to come back into the Marine Corps. That you have to go through a board. So I did, and they recommended that I not be brought on because I didn't have enough time to qualify for retirement. Because General Neller, Brigadier General type at the time, wrote one of my letters of recommendation, General Helick saw him at the Pentagon and said, "Hey, just so you know, they've recommended I not bring that guy back on active duty." And Neller looked at him and said, and I still have General Halick's letter here someplace. He said, "Hey, I don't care what your board said. Bring him back on active duty. He'll deploy. He'll contribute." So General Halick listened to him. And none of this would have, honestly, two really, really important people in all of this are my company, Gunny, and General Halick. So anyway. And so he'll come on. But don't miss the interview on Monday. It is outstanding. I put on the read board, I was even getting pinged last night at around midnight, by somebody on the East Coast, of all craziness. But I got pinged at about midnight, maybe a little bit earlier. And that had to do with, do you have the documents that he published when he was on command that you spoke of yesterday? And so just so everybody knows, they are on the read board right now. So if you go to the All Marine Radio website, right, you pull up that bad boy, and if you look across the top, over on the right, you'll see read board. If you click on that, you'll see the top entry is Lieutenant General Paul K. Van Riper's leadership guidance to the 2nd Marine Division in 1991 upon taking command of the division, 3 documents. So if you click on that, you will see the hyperlinks. Just scroll down a little bit. There's 1, 2, 3 of them. numbered, and all you got to do is click on that, and you can download those documents there. So, yeah, Jeremiah Riper, interesting guy. And again, he's grew up in Pennsylvania, and he's a product of his Vietnam experience, which is what Jeff Kenny and I were talking about yesterday. Again, Vietnam, 1967-68. I mean, it's the last time the Marine Corps fought somebody that would close with you. Okay? Not somebody that would run from you, but somebody that would close with you. So the lessons that these officers, these staff NCOs, these Marines learned and give us, I think are pretty important. Not that, you know, not to discount anybody's experience. Okay? But when you read the battles that they fought in, right? Holy shit. Anyway, so Monday, write that on your forehead. Okay? Ah, your forehead. Walk around like that all weekend. Anywho, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. We'll take a look at the news.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting.
Pete Davis here on a Friday. Time for check some news headlines. This story's a couple days old, but a Marine poolee helped bring a high school gun shooting event in Colorado to a relatively swift end. One student lost his life, but his name is Brendan Bailey, B-I-A-L-Y. He's a poolee in the 8th Marine Corps District in Colorado. And according to his dad, Brad, Brendan was in a class when the two students entered his classroom. One pulled a gun out of a guitar case. His son and two friends tried to tackle the gunman, but one of the boys was shot in the chest. The other students tried to stop the students bleeding with chest pressure, Brad Bailey told the New York Times. We're deeply saddened for the victims, families, friends, and community. We'd like to commend the immediate response of law enforcement and assure all we are strong with love of our families, communities, friends, and everyone sending concern and best wishes. We will persevere. And again, the article goes on. This shooting, school shooting, comes a week after another student, another selfless military student, tackled a gunman, this time during a deadly shooting at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. 21-year-old Riley Howell has been lauded as a hero after tackling the gunman who opened fire on a classroom of nearly 50 students on April 30th, the last day of spring classes. Howe was one of two students killed. He had a job on campus where he worked with housing to keep other students safe, according to his obituary. He was also a cadet with the Army Reserve Officer Training Corps. He was buried Sunday with full military honors. You know, and part of this, these stories, and the reason why I wanted to mention it is, you know, we've talked about this kind of stuff. I said, you know, if you don't, you know, as somebody who has a 15-year-old daughter, you know, and I've sat down and talked to Colleen, if somebody comes in your classroom and they start shooting, you have a decision to make. If you're close to the shooter, right, you've got to go tackle them, right, because you're going to die. If you're in between, not close and not far, throw whatever you can throw at them. Throw your desk, throw your backpack, throw somebody else's desk, somebody else's backpack. Throw whatever you can throw to make them duck, to give somebody else the opportunity to go tackle him. All right? And if you're far away from him, throw your desk through a window or get out the door. Or grab a fire extinguisher and blow the room up. But, you know, I mean, these events would all be much, much worse. These last two, were it not for the selfless actions of young Americans that are in the steps to join the United States military, right? One of whom gave their life, and another one who wasn't involved in it did the same. Attempted to tackle a shooter, but you have no choice. And so, if you haven't had that discussion with your kids, and you haven't, or if you're a grandparent, and you don't know if your kids have had that discussion with their kids, I would say that that's probably something that you need to talk about as a family. Yeah, sad but true. And, you know, whether you're in school or whether you're at a mall, your kid ought to know what to do and when to do it. And so I would recommend that. So that caught my eye from a few days ago. And so I thought I should bring that story up. Another story, North Korea fired two suspected missiles and a possible warning. Analysts believe they're missiles that the Soviet Union, that Russia is trying to sell. South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff said the weapon flew 420 kilometers, which is 260 miles. The second one flew 167 miles. Said it was working with the United States to determine more details, such as types of weapons that were fired. And in response to that, the United States Navy fired off a missile. So we continue to play these games after the summit with Vladimir Putin, right? What kind of advice do you think Putin gave Kim Jong-un? Hey, man, don't surrender anything, right? The United States isn't going to do anything, right? They will bloviate and bluster and whatnot, but they're not going to actually do anything. So you need to keep this in the news. That's how we do it. Because, I don't know, you think Putin went there? Because, you know, we're actually a small country, too. I mean, our economy isn't very big. So, but I puff my chest up and I pretend I'm a big shot and it works for me. So, anyway, so that in the news today. Top five stories in Early Bird. And then we'll get to Stars and Stripes, which I omitted. Well, let's see Stars and Stripes now, because Stars and Stripes always, again, seems to have something interesting. Top headline, Stars and Stripes. A soldier's award for tossing an enemy grenade back is upgraded to the Distinguished Service Cross. Nicholas Esslinger, his quick action, that on a night in October of 2008 saved six soldiers from potential injury or death, earning him a Silver Star Medal in 2009. Last year, he received an upgrade award, the Distinguished Service Cross, equal to our Navy Cross, second highest award for combat valor. He picked up a hand grenade and threw it back. Hear, hear. Let me just say, if you want an opinion about awards boards, if you look at awards and percentages of awards, we're less valorous now. And some of the criteria now for awards is ridiculous. U.S. deployed fighters to Romania. That's right. Romania, what's going on there? Nothing. A short U.S. Air Force deployment to Romania is doubling the number of F-16 fighter jets in the country ahead of Romanian plans to purchase more of the U.S.-made aircraft. So F-16, pretty great record around the world. So it's one of the aircraft of choice. Navy offers expedited transfers to victims of offenses besides sexual assault. Sailors who are victims of sexual harassment, stalking, or humiliations, such as having lewd images posted publicly, can request a special transfer away from those accused of the crimes, according to a recent change in Navy policy. So not just sexual assault. So Navy. The Navy. And four B-52 bombers, that is the task force that was discussed so much in the news recently, have landed in Qatar. And the headline here is over an unspecified threat. Well, if you listen to Auburn Radio, or if you watch the Senate Appropriations Committee, Subcommittee on Defense, you would know by words that came out of the chairman's mouth exactly what it was in response to. Interesting. Get it together. All right, top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, Trump nominates Shanahan as next defense secretary. There you have it. Why do you think that is? You think nobody else would take the job? Or is Shanahan just that good? Well, you know what the president's going to say. It's going to be unbelievable. We're going to have the best secretary of defense ever in the history of the world. Yeah. That's how that's going to roll. And yeah. So, and it was interesting playing the audio yesterday from the Senate Subcommittee hearing. Senator Lindsey Graham asks the Secretary of Defense, do you believe that we can have peace in Afghanistan while Pakistan is still thwarting everything we do? And then Secretary Shanahan says, he kind of, I believe Pakistan is an important piece. And then Graham cuts him off and he says, Chairman Dunford. And then the chairman says, yes, Senator, I believe that. It's like, oops. Come on, man, get with the program. Shanahan, aren't you supposed to know this kind of stuff? Yeah, what are we doing with Pakistan these days? Anywho, so yeah. So congratulations to Pat Shanahan. You are maybe next Secretary of Defense. Number two story. In a first, Pentagon to release information on military dependent suicide. Whoa. The Pentagon will release a new annual report on active duty military suicides this year, one that will provide complete data for 2018, as well as a first ever look at suicide among military family members. In a hearing before the House Oversight and Reform National Security Subcommittee, held on Wednesday, Navy Captain Mike Colston, the Defense Department's Mental Health Director and Defense Suicide Prevention Officer Karen Orvis, said the new report will allow for more timely publication of suicide rates, which are a more accurate measure of trends than yearly tallies. Currently, the DoD publishes quarterly reports of the number of deaths in the previous three months. With the year-end data included in the fourth quarter report for the calendar year. It also publishes DOD suicide event reports, the DOD SCR, an in-depth look at each suicide and suicide attempt for the year, including rates, methods, circumstances, prior medical history, and more. It's usually published 18 months to 2 years after the subject year. But the DOD has not published the final figures or rates for 2018 and declined to provide them earlier this month when asked by military.com. Instead, they will be included in the new report called the Annual Suicide Report, expected this summer. The Annual Suicide Report will enable us to monitor trends in suicide over time and identify risk factors for protective factors for suicide, Orvis told lawmakers at the hearing. A total of 321 active duty service members took their lives during the year, including 57 Marines, 68 sailors, 58 airmen, and 138 soldiers. The deaths equaled a total number of active duty personnel who died by suicide in 2012, the record since the service began closely tracking the issue in 2001. The suicide rate among active duty troops doubled from 1999 to 2016 to nearly 22 per 100,000 service members. Colston called the Defense Department's Captain Colston called it the Defense Department's biggest public health problem. Our trend is worse than the secular trend, and we need to fix it, Colston said. Colston and Orvis said the DOD has improved mental health treatment, embedded therapists and mental health providers in units, and introduced a policy in 2017 on suicide prevention. Then the obvious question is, why is there more suicide? So, interesting. Whenever the DOD and the VA talk suicide, it's always interesting. So, I'll keep my eye out for this report that happens this summer. Third story is a dozen companies chosen to work on the $5 billion construction project for the president's border wall. Yeah, going to see some construction on the border. Hello, it needs to happen, man. You gotta slow that thing down and stop it. Right? And it's only then that you're going to be able to go ahead and, and deal with the other issues. But you gotta do the security piece first. President Donald Trump's vision for a border wall along the southern U.S. border with U.S.-Mexico took a big step forward on Wednesday. A dozen companies from around the nation have been selected to compete on up to $5 billion worth of horizontal construction projects over a five-year period ending in 2024. The awards come after a year after requests for bids were put out in response to Trump's January 27 executive order to secure the southern border. So there you have it. The projects will include a mix of border barriers, patrol and access roads, lights, access gates, drainage improvements, levee walls, and other improvements, repairs and alterations along the border from California to Texas, according to a spokesman. The spokesman, somebody named Petty, added that while the companies have been selected to bid on individual task orders for the project, the money to pay for them could come out of the DOD or the Border Patrol's budget. Yeah, that's something you'll be able to track that because it'll be on the headline of every news program in the nation. Story out of Military Times. Does combat experience even matter against Chinese or Russian troops? Interesting story by a guy named Kyle Remfer. And you know, it's kind of along the lines, of some of the things we've been talking about, right? When you've been fighting an insurgency, and it's interesting to talk to, you know, Vietnam guys because, again, they fought against an enemy that would close with you, right? So you could fight the Viet Cong and do IEDs and patrolling and all of that, and then you could be sent as units were to Hue City, and all of a sudden you're doing mount against mainstream NVA, you know, and fighting a fight that you hadn't dreamed of fighting. So anyway, interesting headline. As China and Russia modernize their militaries and restructure their forces, the U.S. military is wary that its traditional advantages may be negated in a potential war with either or both powers. In the face of rising China and a resurgent Russia, Some pundits point out to the U.S. military's surplus of combat experience and large-scale logistical expertise in massing of forces as an overwhelming advantage. But that may not actually help that much against a peer adversary capable of launching cyber attacks the minute mobilization orders are cut, according to retired U.S. Army General Jack Keane, who I have great respect for. A commander today at Fort Bragg in the pre-deployment phase will be disrupted by cyber attacks on personal manifests, loading rail cars, and moving convoys to ships. Keane, who serves as the chairman for the Defense Institute of the Study of War, said on Wednesday at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies Forum in Washington, D.C. That was a mouthful. The days of permissive strategic deployment, like the 2003 invasion of Iraq, are gone. He's talking about, so all this stuff will be contested beginning at your home port. I would bet an American sailor, soldier, airman, marine with combat experience any day over a Russian or a Chinese counterpart, said Michelle Flournoy, a former Pentagon official under the Barack Obama administration. But this is going to be a different kind of warfare. It's been a long time since we fought without domain supremacy for early movement into a conflict. We have never fought with constant cyber harassments, losing communications, connectivity, or the ability to plug into a network. So pretty interesting, pretty interesting. And again, it echoes the sentiment that you hear on this program, that when you look at, for instance, from my perspective, when you look at doing programs about Vietnam, and you start to go down that road and you start to look at different fights we got into in Vietnam, then you think about it. It's like, we haven't fought like this since Vietnam. You know, every place that we've gone, we've been lord of the manor. We've been, you know, it's been completely dependent on us showing up, establishing air superiority, which is not difficult, right? Our aviation assets take to the sky. And then once we do that, we do anything we want to do. So, no, it's just an interesting thing to consider. So, I'm just looking. Any other interesting stories? I'll close with this, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll get the chef on. There's a General Neller put out, I think, a white letter or something, saying that he wanted Marines not just to stand for the Marines hymn, but to sing it, right? So historically, whenever you're someplace as a Marine, and Marines know this, right, when that song comes on, man, you get off your ass and you stand at the position of attention. So you'll be at a baseball game, right? And it'll be, you know, Armed Forces Day or something like that. Or it might just be, you know, seventh inning stretch after they sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game or God Bless America, whatever they sing. And then the organist begins to play. And when you hear the Marines hymn, you look around, you see all these guys standing up at the position of attention. You're like, they're the Marines, man. They're the Jugheads. Coming up, who wrote this? Gina Harkins wrote this. Coming up, Bob Neller told Marines at a California air station Wednesday that he wants them to sing the Marines hymn every time they hear it to remind them of the title they've earned. Quote, "The reason I want us to sing it when you're not standing in formation is to think about the words that are in the lyrics." Neller said during a town hall event. "First to fight, keep our honor clean. Proud to claim the title. It's not a name. We have a title. You are a Marine." There's virtue and honor in being a Marine. You can't change that. All right. We'll take a break. You know what? One of the things that's interesting about General Van Riper's documents, and I read it, and I think it's his philosophy of leadership. So if you read it, and you read the version that I have posted, the in the second paragraph, it's entitled Environment, right? The first paragraph is an introduction. The second one is Environment. In the first paragraph, right, the captain that kept this underlined this. This environment has and must remain one in which all have a strong sense that being a Marine is a special calling, not an occupation or a job. General Neller's echoes that, what, 38 years later? Interesting stuff. All right. Don't touch that dial. The chef. Yeah. The one and only Chef Keem. He joins us next here on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. Don't touch that dial. More of this great program coming up next.